Hi there, and welcome back to the Who Goes There podcast. I'm your host, Seth Heasley, and for the past 6.5 years or so, I've been reading the Hugo winners one guest at a time, but the hour has now struck where I've caught up with the list. So this episode is going to be a mixture of a retrospective, kind of looking back on the podcast here, on the project, and also a preview of what's coming next. So before I get into the retrospective, let me just impart the big message. I'm not going anywhere. I will continue to read science fiction books and discuss them with normally one guest at a time. I'm also going to do some different things, but that shouldn't surprise anyone since I've kind of done different things since 2020 or so. But I'll get to exactly what I'm doing later. I'll put time codes in here in case you want to skip straight to if you think I'm burying the lead. But all that being said, let me start the retrospective with a few thank yous. So I want to thank James and Colin, my co-hosts on Take Me to Your Reader, because without them, I would not be a podcaster. I would not have a podcast. I cut my teeth on Take Me to Your Reader, and that allowed me to hit the ground running on this podcast because I already knew what I was doing with production and editing and, you know, managing a website and all that kind of stuff as well. It also gave me some contacts that I reached out to for kind of early days of the podcast. And on that note of contacts, I also want to thank Jason Snell and the Incomparable Podcast for more or less being my inspiration for getting into podcasting at all. At the time that I was planning this podcast, I was already doing Take Me to Your Reader, and I was doing some editing for one of the Incomparable's listener-driven podcasts, the Supergirl Supercast. That gave me just a little more chance to do editing and kind of get the experience. It also helped me network a little bit with folks from the Incomparable, and Jason was nice enough to recommend a few of the regular Incomparable panelists as potential guests for this podcast. So it's no coincidence that in the first 10 episodes, half of them were either Incomparable panelists or people that I'd met through doing the Supergirl Supercast. And I'm quite sure that I have a number of listeners who are also Incomparable fans who may have found me by following the names of some of them into podcast land. So then in the category of people who were just super friendly and encouraging, I definitely want to thank Olav from the Hugo Book Club, who is an early champion of what I do here and also a guest several times. In that same category of good internet friends, I have to thank Lori, Amy, and Haley from Hugo Girl for just being the literal best. I can't wait to hang out with y'all in person at some point. Similar kind of things, Adrian and Matt from Spectology. Adrian was very encouraging, had me on their podcast a couple times, guested on mine a couple of times. I still go back and listen to our underrated science fiction fantasy movies podcast that we did on Spectology just to listen back to me sniping Adrian's first pick because it's an awesome moment. Similar category, David Agronoff, is another of my favorite people on the internet. He has invited me onto multiple of his podcasts, has allowed me to rub elbows with people I don't feel that I should be mentioned in the same sentence with. So thanks, David, for being awesome. I think that'll about do it for thanks. I'm sure I've missed somebody, but I'll just want to give a blanket thank you to all of my awesome guests. I loved getting so many different voices and personalities on the podcast, and I want to continue doing that. If you recall, I sent out a survey so that listeners could give me feedback on what they liked about the podcast, what they felt could be improved, and what they'd like to see me do going forward. So the first two items feed nicely into the retrospective, and the third item feeds directly into the discussion of what I'm going to be doing next. So kind of looking at the answers to what people enjoyed about the podcast, I was quite heartened to see that the two top answers were the list being covered, the titles being covered, and also my hosting. So I expected it to skew more towards the list, but it was basically a dead heat. So I'm glad that people seem to enjoy what I do here and the material that I cover. In terms of the suggestions for improving the podcast, the top vote getter there was more in-depth literary analysis of the books being discussed. Now, I put that answer on the list knowing that I'm not sure I'm really up to doing that. I'm not a literature major. I'm just a techo who loves to read. So this is something that I'll be looking to do, but I'm not totally sure how I accomplish that. I think I'm going to need to lean even more heavily on my guests to accomplish this. And I know that there's been some great literary analysis of some of the titles and not of others because, you know, I relied on my guests mostly for that. But if you have any further suggestions on what kind of analysis you'd like to see, then, you know, lay it on me. Another thing that got a lot of votes was more diversity in the guests. And I do really feel this one. I honestly thought I'd done a better job of the gender balance, thinking it was, you know, maybe 50-50. It was more like 2/3 and 1/3. I think maybe if I factor in repeat guests, the numbers work out a little better, but who knows? But I really thought that, you know, I did make an attempt to engage people and tried to get men and women on the podcast. On the other hand, for the most part, you know, I reached out to a few people at the beginning. And after that, the podcast just kind of became self-sustaining. People would reach out to me, and I literally never turned anyone away. I had one person who signed up for a title, and then I never heard from him again, so I covered it with somebody else. And that's fine. But it also makes it so that, essentially, it's my circle. And my circle isn't super diverse. And so it makes sense that when I look back over my list of guests, it's not as diverse as I would probably like it. So I'd like to, I need to be a little more proactive about asking people on the podcast. And that's something I'm going to try and do going forward. But I could use your help. You know, if you have suggestions for guests, reach out to me. If you're out there and you want a guest on the podcast, reach out as well. Okay, so from there, we get into portions of the survey that speak directly to the future content of the podcast. I do want to put a pin in that for just a few minutes while I finish out the retrospective, answering the question, how has it been for me doing the podcast? The quick, easy answer is it's been great. I wanted to read this list of books and talk to awesome people about it, and, you know, two for two, way to go. But I'm not going to pretend that there haven't been any challenges to it. I've managed to pump out at least one episode per month on this podcast for nearly 7 years, and that takes some doing, especially while also doing that with Take Me to Your Reader and occasionally doing it for Brief and Not So Brief. So, you know, if you're a podcaster out there, you know the work behind the scene is considerable. And for me, you know, I'm a one-man show here. I do all of the promotion for it. I seek out the guests or I let them come to me, do the scheduling, recording, the editing, the posting, all of that kind of stuff, which probably explains why I'm so crap at social media, because I just don't have the energy to really do it. But I've loved doing it. And as I've started approaching the end of the main project, which by this time I'm done, behind the curtain here, I've got one more episode left as I'm recording this. But I've kind of had that last week of school feeling where, like, okay, I'm almost there. Once I'm through, I get to take it easy. So I've got a little battle going on within me. I do need to recapture some time for myself, but I also really value what I have in the podcast, what I've done with the podcast, the community that I'm in, and the value that I provide to that community. So, you know, I can't just let the podcast feed go cold. And to be clear, in case you missed it earlier, I'm not going to do that. But the time for myself aspect also weighs quite heavy on me. When I look back to my younger days, when I used to track my reading, I still do track my reading. I used to read 60 to 70 books a year, you know, at least one book a week. And some of that, you know, when my son was little, it was because I was reading him young adult novels or, you know, Chronicles of Narnia kind of things. And that does pad the reading stats just a little bit. But that was also back in my audiobooks aren't really reading phase. I literally have said that to people in the past. And so when I'm talking about 60 to 70 books a year, I'm not talking about graphic novels. I'm not talking about audiobooks. I'm talking about reading books in print. So I've taken a little bit of a hit. The key factor, though, is I was reading 60 to 70 books with very little effort because it was all pleasure reading. Every bit of it. I wasn't reading anything for curriculum. I guess I was reading some stuff for Take Me to Your Reader, but a lot of times it was early days and I was really excited about it. And so it didn't feel like curricular reading, but I think everybody kind of knows what it's like, right? Where when you're assigned a book, it feels different reading it, even if it's a good one. And not that I haven't gotten any pleasure out of any of the reading that I've done for the podcast, because that would definitely not be true. I've really, really enjoyed some of the reading that I've had to do. I've gone back and reread a book a couple of times just because of that. But when I look at my reading these days, if you follow me on Goodreads, which you can do that, find me on Goodreads, not the podcast, but just follow me. I do have an account for the podcast, and I think that was a stupid thing to do. I should have just always kept it myself. But I have a reading challenge on there, and these days I try to read my age. So last year I tried to read 50 books and I made it. And so you might be looking at that and go, well, look, Seth, you're telling me that you don't have time for extra reading, but you're only doing 12 books a year for the podcast. So you managed to read 38 other books. So what are you complaining about? And yeah, true. But I padded those stats with graphic novels, with audiobooks as well. When I want to do extracurricular reading, I really don't have time for that kind of pleasure reading that I really miss. Not that I don't enjoy audiobooks, but there's something about sitting down with a physical book or an ebook in my brown chair downstairs and reading it. That's just an experience that I miss having all the time. I was actually thinking about this the other day, thinking about over the podcast and the interesting locations where I read certain books. Because, for instance, I remember vividly reading Lord of Light in a little vacation rental on the Kona side of the Big Island of Hawaii, with the doors open. I could hear the surf, feel the sea breeze. It's just a very sense memory kind of thing about that. And I have that for a number of the books. I was thinking maybe I'll kind of chart that out and figure out where I read all of these. I probably won't be able to do it for all of them because my memory isn't that good. But, you know, that is one of the factors, is that with the 60 to 70 titles that I was reading per year back in the day, it was all extracurricular. Right now, most of my reading is curricular, and any extracurricular ends up being audiobooks. And I've said it before, and I don't think this is controversial, that I don't value audiobook reading the same way I do print reading. I'm not speaking for anybody else, speaking only for myself. Like I said, the experience of reading in print is something that I very much value. And for the podcast, I had kind of set myself the requirement that I'm going to read them in print. And you've heard me talk about using audio at times, but generally that was only as a supplement to reading in print. So there are books where I did the kind of whisper sync thing with Kindle and Audible, where I would read it in print and then I'd switch to the audiobook while I was mowing the lawn or riding my bike or something. And then I'd come back and read it in print, take it up that way. I did a few of them that way, but for the most part, I read all of them in print. And then sometimes I would go back and listen to an audiobook as well after I had read it. And for my rereads, I tended to use audiobooks just because that was easier. But there were only, I think, three titles on the list where I exclusively used audio. I let myself off the hook just because they were books that I thought, I'm never getting through this without somebody else reading it to me. And so I don't really regret that in those cases. So all of that is kind of the reason that embarking on another long list of books could be an issue, right? The reading part of it. But I have a solution, and I'll get to that. There is also the editing part, which I mentioned earlier, and that's one I'm not sure I'm willing to let go of. Part of it is I think I'm not sure that I could really pay anyone to do editing for me, and I don't want to be that person who's like, do the editing for the experience, the exposure. On the other hand, there is something to be said for gaining experience, and I've done it myself, edited for another podcast as a favor to other people. And I didn't mind doing it. So if there's somebody out there who's really gung-ho to kind of learn about editing and wants to use my podcast as a way to do that, reach out to me. We'll see. I'm not sure that I'm willing to let go of it. I'm not generally a control freak, but I know what product I like to put out. And so I'd have to be pretty specific about that. Okay, so rant over about all that kind of stuff. I just wanted to give the background for why I'm not going to just do the exact same thing that I've been doing for the last 6.5 years. And on that note, back to the survey, talking about what I am going to do. Because when I asked people what they wanted to see from the podcast going forward, most of the responses were start another list, followed closely by just keep bringing on other guests and talking about science fiction. I even got quite a few votes for discussion panels, which is nice. So at that point, the survey drilled down to consider what list I should do. And I got a variety of different answers. Actually, I got a lot of great answers. A lot of folks would like to see me stick with the Hugos and cover nominees, for instance, for best novel, or do something like novellas. I have to admit that I do love novellas because of the length, and I haven't really read that many of them, but there's just something nice about the, not episodic nature of it, but just how quickly they go down. And I do also love the idea of checking in on some of the nominees for the Hugo Award, because I really haven't read that many of them. But there are so many different awards out there for science fiction and fantasy for other genres as well. And one of the answers that I got was, mix it up and cover books from a variety of lists, including non-science fiction stuff. So I think in terms of a list that I'm going to cover going forward, I'm not going to pick just one. Instead, I'm going to do an infinite list. So I have created what I call the Mondo list of award winners in a Google sheet. And just to give you an idea, there's something like 900 plus titles on the list. So I'm just going to read down the list here. So bear with me. If it sounds like I'm reading something, it's because I'm reading something. So I have the Hugo Best Novel nominees. I have the Hugo Novella winners, the Nebula Awards, of which I've read about half of them just by virtue of reading the Hugo Awards, so the co-winners I've read, and there's a couple other that weren't winners that I've actually read. Sorry, weren't winners of the Hugo Award, but were winners of the Nebula that I've somehow already read. So then I have the Arthur C. Clarke Award, the British Science Fiction Awards, the John W. Campbell Memorial Award, which is not the same as the Astounding Award. That was a renamed one that was originally called the John W. Campbell Award. And I think that's for Best New Writer. Where with the John W. Campbell Memorial Award, it's a separate award. It has not been awarded in a few years. And I think when they get back to actually awarding it again, I understand that there may be a name change for it. But for now, it's still called the John W. Campbell Award. So then there's the Philip K. Dick Award, the Locus Award, which at first was just essentially a recommendation for what should win the Hugo. And that was from like 1970 to 79, something like that. And only one of those novels didn't win the Hugo. So I captured that list, but then it breaks out into the Locus for science fiction and the Locus for fantasy after that point. So I broke up both of those lists as well. Then there's the World Fantasy Award and the International Fantasy Award. I kind of combined that list. This, you might be thinking, wait, I thought this was a science fiction podcast. And it is, but the Hugo list is not exclusively science fiction. There is occasional fantasy, and I think I enjoyed all of the fantasy titles on the list. So I'm definitely open to covering fantasy titles. I'm not gung-ho about it, but you know, if you have one that you want to do, let me know. So then there's the Bram Stoker Award, which is a horror award. And again, kind of moving out of my comfort zone a little bit here. I've read 4 out of 33 of these, which was a little surprising to me, but you know, something like American Gods won that. And then there's the Otherwise Award. And that used to be called the James Tiptree Award. But that's an award that is done for works that expand or explore the understanding of gender. So kind of topical, and I'd be interested to take up those. So that is the list of award winners. There's also in the sheet, I guess in the workbook, there's a sheet called Books Seth Wants to Cover. And some of these are titles off of one of the winner lists, but there's also just a bunch of them that haven't won anything except my desire to either read or reread them and cover them for the podcast. And this is my way of getting to do some more extracurricular reading within the curriculum, if that makes sense. And there's some, you know, I have Pride and Prejudice in that list because it's something that I started at some point. And if we ever get to that, I'll explain why I started it and why I'd like to finish it. But it's mostly science fiction. So hopefully this is the infinite list that you didn't know you wanted me to cover. If you want to look at it, I will go ahead and drop a link into the show notes, and I'll put it out on social media as well, to a non-editable version of the spreadsheet. It will have markings in there. For instance, it'll be grayed out if it's already been covered on the podcast or if I've covered it on another podcast. Because there's a couple things, like I did an episode of Spectology talking about Childhood's End, which won at least one of the awards. I would be open to discussing that one again, but you know, I'd rather pick up new titles for me. In the spreadsheet, I put links to the podcast on which I discussed them. I only put the Hugo links on the Hugo tab. So if it's in another tab and I also covered it, for instance, on Take Me to Your Reader, I put the links in on the subsequent lists, not on the main Hugo one. So that is the list. And this is, of course, where you come in. Feel free, reach out to me, claim a book. You're not going to be able to edit the spreadsheet, of course, but you can reach out to me and I will note in there that you've taken it. If you go in and look, you might notice that a couple of people have already taken advantage of that. And that's because they're my patrons and I already sent them the list. So that is just one of the many benefits you get of being my, I'm just kidding. I am terrible at actually delivering much to my patrons beyond what I already do, apart from occasional exclusives and earlier access to the episodes. I also, as I kind of indicated with Childhood's End, I want to make it clear that I'm open to recovering anything that I've previously covered. For instance, I wouldn't need any convincing to do another episode on Beyond This Horizon, because we barely talked about the book on that episode. There's a couple other episodes where I feel like I'm not sure we did that book justice, and I would be willing to recover it if you really, really feel strongly about it. I do not want this to become something like a rebuttal of a previous episode. I don't want to start any flame wars with my podcast. So if you have something new that you want to bring about a title, then we can do that. I just need a good pitch for why we should do it, except for Beyond This Horizon. That one I don't need a pitch for. And of course, there are books on other lists that I have not captured yet. And if you have one of those lists and you want to reach out to me, I may add them to the spreadsheet, but also I'm totally willing to cover something that I don't have in the spreadsheet at this point. So at this point, after hearing about the infinite list, you may be thinking, Seth, if you're saying you need more time, how are you going to get more time when you're covering an infinite list? Well, in a couple of ways. Firstly, I mentioned earlier that most of my extracurricular reading has been audio, while my curricular reading has been in print. So what I'm going to try and do is flip that script. I'm going to let myself off the hook and say, you know what? Audio is a great tool for covering some content and just allow myself to, when I want to, whenever I want to, just pick something up on audio instead of reading it in print. I'll still pick my spots. There are short novels and novels that I've been wanting to read that I would like the experience of sitting down and reading in print. I will still do that when I have time. And, you know, that kind of informal rule that I had there, I kind of had for both Take Me to Your Reader and Hugo's There. So that's one way that I'm going to give back some time, allowing myself to use audio and give myself more time for doing regular reading or not doing any reading at all. Although I know myself and I usually don't go more than a couple days without reading something. But the other thing that I'm thinking about doing is experiment with running a backlog. So as I'm recording this, I'm getting ready to pre-record a few episodes that will be coming out later this year. So that could allow me to occasionally just kick back and let the backlog play out and take a break. You know, if I go on vacation, if work gets really hectic, that would be a good thing for me to do just for my own podcast life balance, to use a cliche. But the chief thing that I'm going to do goes back to some of the comments that I got, encouraging me to just keep covering science fiction with interesting guests. And I even got someone reached out and I lost the comment. I can't remember where I found it, saying, hey, it would be interesting sometimes to not focus so tightly on one book, but, you know, look at an author's, all of their work, for instance. And so that gave me the idea of doing episodes that I'm calling Zoom Out or Zoomed Out episodes. I haven't landed on the branding for it yet. So one kind of Zoomed Out episode that I'm planning to do will focus on an author's overall catalog. So the way I think we'll approach this, and I'm saying this as of not having recorded any of them, but I have a pitch out to a few guests, where we will kind of look at the background of an author, why they should be read, the basics kind of about them, and then the basic titles that you would want to read to get to know that author, and then moving into some more advanced topics, some stuff that's more off the beaten path. So that way, if you're interested in reading a new author, I might be able to help you out with recommendations for that. And in the course of those episodes, I will probably usually find something new to read that I'll read for that podcast. So I'm not sure it's really gaining me any time. So for those kind of episodes, I already have Asimov, I have Bradbury, I have PKD, and Heinlein at least tentatively booked. But, you know, I'd love to do episodes on Le Guin, on Vonnegut, Octavia Butler, Connie Willis, Robert Silverberg, just off the top of my head. So if you're really familiar with any of those authors and you want to reach out and get something on the books for those, reach out to me. Just to be clear, you don't have to have read absolutely everything that an author's written. I'm not expecting to need to get a PhD for all of these. I do have one PhD for one of these, but obviously I don't have a PhD. I guess it's not that obvious. I have two bachelor's degrees, but that's neither here nor there. So another zoomed out idea that I had was to do similar breakdowns, but instead of authors, look at science fiction subgenres or speculative fiction subgenres. So think space opera, hard science fiction, climate fiction, military science fiction. Again, with this one, I've already booked a couple of these. I've got one booked for military science fiction, one for pandemic fiction, and I have one for horror as well. Again, this is a speculative fiction subgenre. And of course, there's subgenres within horror. So we'll try an umbrella one and then go from there. But if you want to pitch me another genre, reach out and we'll do this. And of course, I will continue to do bonus episodes where I just catch up with a previous guest or talk to somebody about a cool project they have or things that are science fiction adjacent. I usually try to move them around to science fiction, but sometimes it's just talking with someone that I wanted to catch up with. But in terms of what to expect from this podcast in the post-Hugo list phase, it's this. I'm going to probably go on like a four-month cycle where two of those episodes will be what I'd consider a typical episode where it's me, one guest, talking about one book. And then the other two episodes will be zoomed out. And I'll probably alternate between those, and I'll alternate also between doing the stuff from the award winners list and stuff that I want to cover, assuming that I can find guests to do the ones that I want to cover. I'm still considering whether I want to kick this phase of the podcast off with one of my picks, being selfish, or if I want to take one of the award winners. I have a guest booked for each of those, so I guess we'll see. We'll see what'll happen. And of course, when we get a new Hugo winner, I will want to do an episode on that. I'll probably still do the discussion panels for nominees. Depends on what my energy level is as we get the nominees. But that's been something that I've enjoyed and it's been well received. So I would still like to do that. I may limit the size on some of them. We've got a little out of control last year. And, you know, perhaps in the coming years, perhaps this year, I'll be able to read the novels, but we'll wait and see. So that's what you're going to see here. Some regular episodes, some new kinds of episodes. I hope you enjoy them. And as always, I welcome feedback. I expect that by the time you're hearing this, I'll have already done maybe one cycle of this new structure, at least have it in the can. But I'm always willing to consider changes. So at this point, I just want to reiterate, if I haven't said it enough, thank you for listening. I'm particularly thankful for those who support me financially. And if you want to do that, you can go to patreon.com/hugospodcast and sign up to support there. But I also wanted to open up a new means of support for those who don't want to do a monthly pledge. And this was based on some of the feedback that I got. Somebody said, I'd love to support the podcast, love what you do, but I can't do a monthly thing. And so I actually created a Buy Me a Coffee account, which I've kind of renamed Buy Me a Book, since that's probably where the money will go, since I read more books than I buy coffees. So I will drop a link into the show notes. It's www.buymeacoffee.com/SethHeaselD. It's my exact name, except instead of a Y at the end, it's a D. I don't know why that is a thing, but I kept messing around with the account creation thing, and that's just what kept coming out. I know there's another Seth Heasley out there, but I don't think he's on Buy Me a Coffee. So I just went with it. Once you have the link, it doesn't matter. So, and then for anybody out there who just wants to support the podcast in non-monetary ways, I'll remind you that I do have another podcast, Take Me to Your Reader, and a pretty much defunct one, Brief and Not So Brief, that we, you know, resurrect once or twice a year. But I encourage you to check those out, leave reviews for them if you like them. And for this one, obviously, if you get a chance. I'm actually kind of terrible at remembering to leave reviews for podcasts, so I might go and do a spate of those when I get done recording here. I'm actually also really terrible about keeping track of the reviews that I get, so I'll go look at those again. It doesn't take too many 1 or 2 star reviews for you to go, I didn't care about reviews anyway. It's like the podcasting sour grapes. But even without financial support or leaving a review, I'd love to hear from you on social media or email, feedback@hugospodcast.com. I love getting notes from people who are like, hey, I found you through this and have really been enjoying the podcast. Just nice, encouraging words are mother's milk to a podcaster. And if you don't do it for me, do it for another podcast that you enjoy. Everybody gets a kick out of hearing something from their listeners, because it can be kind of easy to feel like you're shouting into the void, even when you have like a reliable group of people who talk to you. Hearing from new people is always great. Think about how much joy Lori from Hugo Girl gets when they get a review. So what's actually next in the podcast feed is going to be an Ask Me Anything episode. I collected some questions through the survey, and I've got quite a few of them. So thank you, Russ. You definitely left enough questions. I appreciate it. But that will be the next thing that you'll see in this podcast. So that will kind of give me a month off to get my feet under me for the next part of the project. So that'll be 2 episodes in a row where it's just me talking to my wall and hopefully the soundproofing thing's doing their job. I'm looking at the clock and feeling like I thought this episode was longer, but that's okay. I don't need to bloviate any further. So I just want to say again, thank you so much for listening. Thank you to everybody who's listened all along. And you know what? Right here at the end, I forgot to thank Michael Simshauser. So Michael, you are the first person who reached out to contact me because of podcasting. And you're awesome. But everybody else, thank you for listening. Really, really appreciate it. I hope to hear from you soon. You will hear from me next month with the Ask Me Anything. And then after that, we'll start the new phase of this podcast. All right. Bye, everyone. The theme music for the Hugo's There podcast was composed and performed by Tim Kuske.